Hey, this is Daps from NRG. You're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 99, coming to you live and or pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, April 4th, 2018. The time is 5:16 in the afternoon. The sun is still up and we are recording. What are we doing? It's like we're responsible adults. Someone's getting to bed on time. Me. I am Tim. I will be one of your hosts for this evening. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hey, fellas. What's up?
And joining us back on, his maternity leave is over. Or paternity with a P?
It's paternity, right? You got it right.
All right. Good. It's time for you to have some responsibility and stop just sitting around, Brett. So welcome back.
Yeah, because that's...
How's the kid?
Very, very kid. Like, no, he's great, man. He sleeps. Pretty much all he does is eat, drink, sleep, poop.
There you go.
Doing baby stuff.
That's all you can ask for, I guess.
Yeah.
As of right now. Maybe in a week or two, he can start helping around the house.
Oh, yeah. And he gets a job and starts paying for his diapers. Yeah.
It all works. It all works out the same.
Yeah.
Again, we are The Center Ring. You can hit us up on our social media. Our Twitter, at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. Of course, we are also on Twitch. We just started streaming all of our episodes live. So, you can do that if that's ever interested you. But again, we are going to be the podcast first. So we're on Twitch, but as you can see, there's no video. You're not missing out on anything other than hearing us when we talk. So don't feel like you need to jump over to Twitch, but we'd appreciate it all the same. Looking at the run sheet, gentlemen, this might be the best episode ever. Not just because Brett's back, but because we have some decent talking discussions. We are going to end the show with e-news, as always. Lots to get to in that, where we cover just segments that, we just don't have the time to get to. And we will talk about racism, hypocrisy in esports. There's been drama. Someone said a bad word, and we will discuss that. But to start the show off, we discussed them a little bit about the roster moves in Overwatch and Counter-Strike last week. And it was all kind of up in the air at the time, right? The trade deadline happened in the Overwatch League. You had teams making rumors everywhere with Counter-Strike. And they have all kind of just finally become settled down. The dust has settled, so now we can discuss. I want to start off with Overwatch League, though, because the trade deadline did end yesterday at midnight. Or today in the morning, however you want to look at it. And man, not every team was active, but there was one active more than others, and that's LA Valiant. They pretty much, almost turned house. Like, they almost have a brand new roster.
Yeah, which is kind of strange. You know, in my eyes, they're right there for a playoff spot, right? Like...
Yeah, but teams do that. You're on the fringe, right? You're on the fringe. You got to make those moves to make it happen.
Yeah, and, I see. You can't be complacent. You can't sit on your hands. I mean, they're sitting right there at 7 right now before stage 3. So, and they're right there. They're a win away from being in a playoff spot, if things were to stay pat until after stage 4. But yeah, Tim, it wasn't even players. We talked about it pre-show. It was even coaches. Like, they've gone through 2 head coaches and assistant coaches, and it's just nobody's safe in LA right now, for sure.
So what did they do? They got rid of, 4 players and got 2 in return, basically?
Well, so it started with a trade to Seoul, where they picked up Bunny. that kind of kickstarted the Valiant trading. And again, it wasn't like they were just focusing on one role. They got all new DPS. They got, you know, new support. It's everything. They really added depth to their roster. So they picked up Bunny on the 31st. Then we discussed it a little bit last week with the rumors of Unco being traded for Custa with the Dallas Fuel. That ended up happening. So now both kind of being supports, but both kind of being their own thing. Custa's kind of known for being an in-game leader, you know, level-headed.
Yeah, and they're really very much so identical in the way that they play. I mean, I believe the Fuel picked up Unco because they need a better Zenyatta, someone that's more sustainable. We've talked about this in previous episodes where they just can't keep those supports alive. And sometimes the supports have to keep themselves alive. You know, there has to be some fragging, especially with the Zenyatta play. So I feel like that's why the Fuel made that move. And on the flip side, the Valiant, I mean, they got a good, you know, a good guy in Custa. I mean, he a good team player, you know, doesn't really make a whole lot of noise.
There's a lot of Fuel fans that didn't want Custa gone.
We talked about it on our last episode. Yeah. You and I both said, Tim, that like we didn't want to see him go. And even Mickey on his stream came out and said, he came out and said like they felt he was like the leader of the team. So I'm a little confused as to a team that has so much turmoil right now. Why trade the one piece that they feel is keeping them together?
Well, let me just go on that. Unco is actually known as a pretty good shot caller, which you have to be as a Zenyatta player, because you're the one throwing out the Discord orbs. So you're the guy that needs to talk the most to focus down targets. So he's actually known to be a good shot caller, whether or not he's like a good like in-game.
I'm not even talking about in-game. Like they were referring to him outside of the game, that he was like the leader of the team and kind of the voice of that team.
That kind of goes
one point, but here, this kind of goes to the point of just sitting on your hands, right? You can't be complacent. Like he's been with the team for the longest time, so they're familiar with each other. They're friends, right? But I mean, at some point, something's got to change. You can't, you know, the best teams are making moves. Even the Dynasty are making moves, and they're
New York. You know, they signed a new coach or assistant coach and a support. So it's not like exclusive to where you're at with the standings. But here's the one thing too, Anuj, that I'll bring up: the players liked him a lot, right? But from a coaching staff, you know, and even from an outsider perspective, you watch a Dallas Fuel game, and we've said this since stage one. The one thing, and I think it was one of the key points we brought up when we did the show on the ticket a couple months ago. One thing that like every other top scale team has in the Overwatch League, and I was not expecting this before the league started, they have a top Zenyatta that can out DPS their DPS, but at the same time heal effectively. And the Dallas Fuel were struggling in that position, right? So even if, you know, he was a good locker room player, I think for season one, you probably don't care so much about the locker room. Like right now when you are, you know, where's Fuel ending at stage three? Still like second to last? They're in 10th place. Okay?
Yes.
They're in 10th place right now. I don't think it really matters how great the locker room is when you're, you know, 5-15. If you start winning, I think anyone could be a locker room kind of guy. So although I liked Custa, I really feel like we didn't really get to see a chance like him really try to shine as Zenyatta. You know, looking at the stats, it's Unco isn't that much better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you look, but it's the eye test. But more to your point,
Dallas
hasn't done anything
to say that they can protect a Zenyatta.
And at the end of stage two, when Custa kind of took the reins as the end game, they started looking better. I mean, they had a really tough schedule, you know, into the stage two schedule against, you know, two top teams where they took those matches pretty much to the breaking point where, I mean, they had a chance, you know, one or two things goes right for them. They actually win those games. So, I mean, he looked good, but, you know, I can't fault the Fuel for making this change. Like, it just, it passes the eye test for both teams.
Yeah, so I think it would have gone either way, right? Even if it didn't fall through, you would have been happy keeping Custa. It's like, okay, whatever. I mean, he's not... I've never once watched a game once for Fuel and thought Custa's the reason they're not good, right?
The only time he made himself kind of a laughing point was when he fat fingered the ultimate.
Twice, right?
Hollywood, yeah. So
it's surprising looking at the standings, like just looking at the overall standings right now, how upside down this whole thing is compared to what we thought it would be at the beginning of the season. You know, I mean, there are teams that we thought would be good, but like, you know, the Shock is also a team that I feel is pretty surprising. Both LA teams kind of being still on the back end. I thought, you know, we all mentioned that we thought they would be good as well. And to kind of see it the way it is, just I don't know. It's pretty clear. Obviously, Shanghai.
And I think that's something with...
Was it going to be a power team?
Yeah, that's the one thing that everyone's like, okay, them and Florida. They're the two non-surprisers. The thing, though, and I think that kind of feeds in, though, to my theory on why the Valiant are trying to make so many roster moves, is because they were, like, especially at the beginning of Stage 1, they were one of the best teams. I mean, they just missed the playoffs for Stage 1. So they lost it by a tiebreaker. You know, they lost by two rounds. They missed the playoffs for Stage 1. So I think they see that, right? They saw that there was a decline in their Stage 2 performance, whether that be because of meta changes or the new patch or whatever, what have you, right?
Yeah.
But I think they see that and say, okay, let's get more people on our roster to where we can swap them out and be a little bit more effective with it.
Yeah, so Unco for Custa, that was the high profile, but the one that I'm really interested in, you know, watching in Stage 3 for the Valiant is what Bunny does to their team. Bunny is coming from the Dynasty. He's, you know, known to be a God-tier Tracer player, which, you know, the Valiant already had on their team with Soon. He's a highlight reel waiting to happen. So I'm kind of interested to see what that dynamic's going to be, because they have a very similar player pool.
Do you think it hurts having more than like one top tier Tracer though? Like, or what, just even a DPS?
I think it from an overall ego standpoint, and we talked about this before the Overwatch League even started, right? We were like, how is traditional rosters, how is that going to work with the team? When they're doing bad, when they're doing good, if they're not playing, how are they going to react? And you see, I mean, changes have already happened for players. You know, Rascal coming from the London Spitfire, a top-tier team, number two right now in the rankings. He wanted to leave because he's not playing. So
yeah, I just don't
know how it's going to work out.
I think a lot of these players, because now you're even hearing guys like Siegel saying, you know, the rumor, it was a light rumor out there saying that Siegel's looking to maybe switch teams now, right? Which I guess has to just be more or less a locker room issues, because at the start of the season, like, Siegel was like, hell yeah, I'll be a bench player, right? I can stream. I don't have to practice as much. Like, this is great. I'm still a pro. This is exactly what he wanted. And now even he's kind of like, no, I'm not being used for my potential. I'm going to be out. You know, people were saying that before the XQC was cut, that Siegel was kind of distanced with the team. You know, he wasn't really active on Twitter. He didn't stream for like 2 or 3 weeks, which is really odd for someone like Siegel, who was kind of known for putting, you know,
he's a streamer, right?
That's what he was known for.
That's how I knew him as.
So I think it's weird, but what you're seeing here with the Dallas Fuel, and it's nothing that I really heard anyone discuss when the season started, and I know I didn't think about it, and maybe it's shame on me. The fact that like these personalities, right? They signed the entire Envious roster. Obviously, everyone know that. Taimu, Harry Hook, Coco, Chips, you know, Mickey, all these guys that were already on Envious just moved onto this team. Then you bring on Siegel, and it kind of turns in Siegel and XQC and these new guys, right? Trying to force them in here to this new roster that have already been friends, right? They've already been They've won tournaments before. So I could easily see where Siegel, maybe unintentionally, right, but they're almost like leaving him out of the click. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what it is. That's what it kind of felt like.
Because look at all these guys who are thinking about leaving the roster. You're not hearing Taimu complain about, well, you know, they're making me play a tank. Like, what the hell? So I just think it's being more or less that envious roster that people need to finally accept the fact that it's not envious, right? This is the Dallas Fuel.
And they're slowly, by like 1,000 cuts, just slowly chipping away at that envious roster, which, I mean, had to happen.
They didn't buy an Overwatch League slot just to make you happy having the entire envious roster in 10th place. Like,
right.
They're going to make roster moves. And
Mike was clear about that when we met with him, too. I mean, the guy is willing to do what it takes to win, and if that means breaking up the click or whatever, whatever needs to be done, I don't see them hesitating. I mean, they're going to do what's best for the organization, and that's how it should be looked at.
And I know we're not done with the Overwatch roster moves yet, but I do, since we're on this little tangent, right, about fans not, like, seeing an organization for what it is, right? You get this in Counter-Strike, too. Like, when Stewie was saying that he was going to go to SK and then it ended up happening. Spoiler alert, Stewie went to SK. That, like, they're like, oh, you know what? That's okay, because I was a Stewie fan, but SK was my number two team. So this works out for me. And I'm like, what? Like, is there, like, even with the cities attached, it seems like people are still having this issue with team loyalty, right? Where it's like, the whole reason they were a Dallas Fuel fan was because of Siegel or whatever, what have you.
Excuse
you. And I get that. You have your favorites, right? You have people that follow LeBron James. But at the same time, the team is 5-15. Like, can you not see why maybe they want to mix up the roster? Like, can just take a step back and be like, maybe this roster isn't working as well as it did when, it was a random-ass tournament and all that.
Yeah, I mean, for people like me, you, and Nuj, we're fans of traditional sports, so we latch onto a team, we ride or die with that team. And I think esports fans are just trying to get used to this because it's a new concept, but they need to get used to it. I mean, changes happen. Traditional sports, players move. It's the new reality. Your reality.
It is what it
is. With this being set up the way it is in like a league format, and there's not like a bunch of side tournaments going on, like, in Counter-Strike, you have ESL Pro League, but you have 1,000 other things happening, right? With it just being one standardized, this is the league, it's hard to recover from some of these, right? You can have a bad tournament in other games and then come back and perform the next weekend and pick it up. They're just having a hard time finding consistency. And so I think that's where all these moves are just, you're going to have to see a lot of mixing and matching until you find something that works, because it's not a short-term project to, next week we did well, now we're going to go slump the following week. Like, this is a consistent showing at 5-15.
Yeah, I like that they're now making 4 months. Because, I mean, they can flip the script and go 15-5, and they're still not making the playoffs. Like, that's not a reality anymore, but I like that they're
just look for
improvement. Trying. And as a fan, you should feel good about that.
Yeah, just look for improvement. Yeah. If you're a Dallas Fuel fan, take each game, like, when they were playing New York in stage two, right, and they took two out of the five maps, right? They lost 3-2. It's like right there, take that as a moral victory. All right. Don't even look at like, Siegel made some goofy plays as D.Va, or they could have done this part better. Like, just that's an improvement. You can't harp on the negatives there. And, if you're a Shanghai Dragon fan.
Sorry.
You cut Undead. So, you got the one guy
that was like your shining member of your team.
As far as skill wise. But
yeah, skill wise, yeah.
I know he had a bad attitude, and that's pretty much why he was cut, was for his attitude. Oh. But
yeah.
That just
not
goes
a roster move.
that just
not
goes
a roster move.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that just goes to show you though how bad he was. If Shanghai Dragon, who hasn't won a single game, right? If the Dragons haven't even won, and they're like, "Bro, you might be our best player, but you gots to go."
We got Koreans to sign.
China's going to Korea.
Is
now.
Anybody really the best player when you're 0-20, or are you all just kind of grouped in?
That's that's a good point. That's a good point. You know, someone's got to be the best on the team. You have New York.
Not a roster move, but the Fusion suspended Echo just recently. Now it looks like it's announced for 3 games, and streaming privileges till the end of the.
What was their reasoning?
Or stage 3. It kind of ties into our next segment, but racially insensitive gesture on Twitch. He imitated an Asian player with slanted eyes.
Oh,
slanted
go
eyes.
Figure. Oh, my gosh.
No
Blizzard
way.
Fined him 1,000.
That never happens at anything.
Blizzard fined him 1,000. Fusion fined him 2,000. And he's also going to be donating 3,000 to a charity.
Oh, well, that's good. At least he's donating money, you know? Also, if you want to be triggered anew, he has already said how he wants his name said.
How does he want it said?
With the letters.
EQO?
Yep. It is not Echo. It's not Echo. When he first started, one of the broadcasters said Echo, and he corrected him, saying it was EQO. And it's like, wow, that's annoying.
Well, and they like they he corrects him, and it's like, well, you're a racist.
Right. So I'm going to call you what I want.
I'm going to call you whatever I want.
Hey, speaking of racists, let's talk about that.
That's called a segue, ladies and gentlemen.
You can always depend on esports and racist segues. That's one thing here.
I threw the alley-oop and Tim just brought it down, baby.
Dunked it. Oh my god.
So,
all over.
If you have touched Reddit or Twitter or anything to do with Counter-Strike, or I'd say even esports at this point over the week, you maybe have heard of the N-word heard around the world. Sadakis, it was his birthday. This happened a couple days ago, right? Like maybe the 31st, maybe?
Yeah, just a few days ago.
Just a few days ago, whenever Sadakis had his birthday. And he was on Twitch, he was streaming, he was drunk. Okay, just to throw that out there. And
that's already a bad combination.
Yep, already you can see where this is going. Well, Don Hassey, who is a known troll, right? He really likes to push the buttons of these top, what do you call them, like personalities, right, in esports and Counter-Strike. He's got a little following for it on Twitter. Well, he shows up in Sadakist's stream, and Sadakist being, you know, a little drunk, probably already would have said this sober, or already at least been upset, right? He came out and said a few things that he probably shouldn't have. I have two clips here. The first one is him talking directly to Don Hassey. There is language. Reminder, this is a family show. Earmuffs.
Don Hachey, you're a fucking cunt. Go fuck yourself. Ban yourself from the CS community. Maybe put a belt around your neck and jump off a cliff with that belt still attached. That would be better for everyone.
Dude, you gave so little warning to what was about. You're like, cover your ears. Boom. First word out. I mean, that just hits you.
Yeah. So he probably wants that one back. But that's okay, because he didn't learn his lesson, because later on, he was caught on stream saying this. There is bad language. I did beep out the bad one, though. So, you know, I'm responsible. I'll say this, too. So this is on, like, another guy's stream, right, that's in the same room with them. So there's some echoing going on because of the mics, I assume.
Yeah, he's sitting on a computer right behind
this
guy.
So it sounds a little goofy, but deal with it.
If you think I'm fucking casting, let me tell you, I am literally gone 50%, and I am the best in esports. Wait till I go 100% fucking.
Whew. So you get it. The beep there was
the
N word. The hard R. Yeah.
He didn't say
the R.
No, he did not try to soften it up. And oddly enough, this also happened. Like, oh, you know what? I'm going to put some backdrop in here. This also happened, though, like, within the same week that Ninja declared an apology for saying the N-word on his stream. Now, his was a little different, though. Where
this is lyrics, right?
Yes, he said lyrics. So he was rapping, and he said it in the song, and so he did an apology, and okay, I get it. But you know, I'm not one to give people passes for saying the N-word, but, I mean, you know, you say it in a song, it's going to be a little different than how Sadakiss did it, right? Just understand that there, I think everyone can agree, there's a clear difference in you were rapping and said it. And
yeah, no hard R either. I mean, yeah, that's like a really big difference as well. Right? That's like the key, I feel like.
So, this is kind of where we're left off. Now, whether you think similar or not similar, Sadakiss is a racist or whatever, right? I'm not really here to argue, is Sadakiss a racist, right? Saying the word once, I don't know. I don't know Sadakiss, right? This could be the first time he's ever said the word in his life. I don't know. So I'm not going to sit here and try to have that argument. I think everyone has an understanding that you just shouldn't say it, especially if you are in the public eye like that. What really got under my skin, though... Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Before we move on.
No. Well, okay. So just, like, I'm with you. Like, we don't need to argue the fact that he is a racist, but my issue is that it came out of his mouth too easy, right? Like, it just, like, you could tell, like, that's not the first time you said that word. Like, did you guys feel like it just, like...
Yeah, like, I feel like you don't use that word if it's not in your vocabulary. Being drunk, first of all, is a really shitty excuse. Let's just start off there. Like, that doesn't excuse any of your actions. It doesn't do it with a crime. It shouldn't do it with what you say either, though, right? Like, I mean, you could be talking crap to somebody, which we do all the time, okay? No. We, like, trash talk. We yell probably profanity. Some pretty nasty stuff that you don't want to hear. And that's okay, like, that's okay to us, but I've never heard any one of us just randomly, like, throw that out there. Even hard R or not, and we've played drunk and, you know, under the influence and whatnot. Like, it's not like no one's ever done that in our crowd. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't excuse being drunk to drop that word. I feel like he doesn't say it often, but it's in your vocabulary, and that's why you said it.
Definitely. And you know, even my drunkest state, you know, going down the street, going down Bourbon Street in New Orleans, like, just can't even walk. Not once did the thought, you know what would be a good word to say right now? The N-word. Let me just blurt this out right here.
I'm thinking of a word that would, like, fit this situation. What word? What word?
Oh,
it's on the tip of my tongue.
And on top of that, to say it to, like, he's saying it to somebody that's part of the community, right? Like, Don Hassey, though, is a leaker of sort, like, I mean, a leaker of, like, information. So he knows a lot of stuff. The dude is just like Decay, has been doing it longer than Decay has, and has done it really well. So it's
he's
not
one
like
of my guilty follows on Twitter.
Yeah, I enjoy following him. Like, yeah, he's kind of a douche at times, but he's funny. He keeps his Twitter active. He's anonymous, which I think annoys a lot of people. But this is him. This is a public figure getting so triggered by, like, somebody that's just talking trash to him. Now, there are some stuff out there that Don Hassey released some public information on Sadakiss in the past, but again, we've seen hate mail. You know, it's not like when they come out here and start bashing the next person that emails us something they don't agree with or don't like. And for Sadakiss, it's a little different than just being a public figure. He's used to talking publicly because of the job he does, where maybe a player on a team, you know, there kind of can be a snail. Like, look at Skadoodle. You never hear him talk in public, right? Other than maybe the calls in game. That's it. Sadakiss is in front of the camera all the time. You should have a lot more awareness than he had in that situation.
Yeah, I just... I like I said, it's weird. Like, and maybe this is a bad thing, right? Maybe this is... I sounded very northerner there. My God. Maybe this is a bad thing where it almost, like, didn't shock me in the way that it should have, right? Like, it didn't shock me, like, sir, you do not say that word. That is offensive to people, and it puts people down and all that, right? It didn't, like, shock me that way. the only thing that I really was kind of upset about was like the community's reaction, and that's talking about the way his colleagues, right? I call it the boys club of CS:GO, right? You're looking at like Thorin, Moses, Richard Lewis, even though I really didn't see him make too much comment on it. You have these guys sitting in their ivory tower who, on any given day, they don't hesitate to throw stones at people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you weren't an OG in Counter-Strike, for the most part, like, that's the whole sarcastic, right, fan logic thing, right? They'll basically all gang up on someone, they'll retweet them, which causes all of their followers to attack this innocent person, all because they said an opinion. Sure, they might be a jerk about it, but...
Or they might not know as much, right? Sometimes they're not even a jerk.
No,
it's just
yeah.
they say something, and then Thorin, especially, is really bad at this, will just take it and slam the crap out of that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure people jump on this bandwagon, too.
Yeah, and they retweet it, and they know exactly what they're doing when they retweet this guy, right? They know exactly what they're doing. They're going to get all of their followers jumping on this guy. I know Richard Lewis came out with a video I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago, talking about, you know, bullying and trans and all this, right? And it was very emotional. It was
talking
very
about his friend Maria.
Yes, exactly. And it was a very good video. I suggest you go watch it. But
yeah, it was a good watch. Yeah.
But I'm not like I can't let it all off the hook, right? Because in there he said like I'm just I don't agree with any bullying. The bigger guy picking on the smaller guy, it makes him so upset. And it's like, does he not look at his Twitter? Like, does he not see half the stuff he does? Like, just because someone swings at you does not mean you have to swing back. This guy, these people on Twitter, and this is going off topic from what Sadakist is, and I'm going to bring it all home for you, but this is me getting on my soapbox, right? You have these guys where it's like, you are the talking head. You are the role model here, right? You might not think you're doing something, but guess what? Richard Lewis retweets one person, and that's it. His hands are wiped from it. He's done. He's not taking any responsibility. If he ever goes and reads the actual like conversations going on to the people that he retweets, right? You see it all the time. People telling people on Twitter to go kill yourself. Go, you know, you're dumb. Don't go do this. And it's like...
Oh, it's rough. It's pretty rough.
It's really rough. And even for me... who I work in radio, right? You bring up esports on radio, like on a sports station. Do you think I just get like ovation, like an applause for
nerd,
me?
Right.
No, but I don't, I don't try to put anyone down about it. Right. You just, yeah. I don't know. Take the high ground, right? You are the professional.
Yeah.
That's my beef with this all is
well,
that they do not hesitate to cast their stones. Sadakist though, he says the N-word, and now all of a sudden the community split. Well, you know, he didn't mean it, and he's obviously kidding, guys. When not, what, 2 weeks ago when XQC did the Tryhard 7 emote in chat, Sadakist, the man himself, tweets out saying how much of an embarrassment XQC is to esports and to Canada.
And Canada.
Gosh, and Canada.
And Canada. The whole nation of Canada should be ashamed of XQC. And now here this is where in Sadakist's apology, he's like, I was drunk. You know, Don Hassey did this to me. You know, he apologized. Again, though, to me, it's irrelevant what Don Hassey's done to him. Right? Like, it's just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the boys club even jumped on that apology letter and we're like, oh, what a great apology. And all I'm over here thinking is it looks like you're like blaming people for like what happened. Now, granted, there's some good things in there too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
But to jump on what you said, Tim, like my issue here is like when it happened, the incident happened, it took him a couple days for that apology letter to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And while that was happening, everybody else was apologizing for him from within the community, right? Like, let this dude come out. Like, why did it take even 2 days to, like, come out and apologize for it? It should have been, like, instantaneous. Like, the next morning, it's like, oh, shit. Like, oh, what did I do, you know? But you had everybody kind of just apologizing for him, telling us what a great guy he is. Like, you need to hear from him. And I even felt that took too long to do.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. Like, what bothers me is just what you guys were talking about, just like the boys club just piling on it. And it even goes beyond just what happened to Sadakus. You know, if you guys remember, you know, from previous episodes, you know, there was the outsider, you know, that did, you know, like the MLB playoffs, and, you know, he was supposed to help with the TV and the production value. Mm-hmm. And just everyone was like, I hate this guy off the bat.
He's not even part of esports. He doesn't deserve this job. Like, let's forget the fact that he worked at MLB. Like, he worked with Major League Baseball, and I think it was Fox or something at the time. Like, let's forget that.
Yeah, and that's what bothers me, is like, this scene just wants to stay indie. And from a growth standpoint, I wish that wasn't the case. You know, if you want to keep your job, you know, do better. You know, get better. And it's just, it really does, more to your point, Tim, just feel like a boys' club, like they're untouchable, you know?
Yeah.
Don't,
I mean, it's just,
like it.
It's one of these things where, and I'm sure, you know, it's where Sadakus is going to feel it, is it's going to be up to his employers, right? I don't know if he's racist. I've met him once, right?
He's a nice guy.
At an event. He seemed nice. He's chill, right? Yeah. I didn't get any racist vibes from him. But that's up to his employers. I'm not here to pass judgment, right? I'm not friends with him. I don't know him. It's whatever. It does. Him saying the N-word really didn't affect my life in any way. It's more so just using that as a platform of seeing the bigger problem, right? There's two big problems that you can highlight from here. One, as we discussed, right? It's this hierarchy. Thank you.
Dog.
It's a hard word, man. Talking is hard. The hierarchy in Counter-Strike, that where it's just this trickle-down effect where they don't even realize, like, the mob of followers that they have underneath them doing, like, their dirty work, and they just back away from it. And then I think the other thing that we haven't brought up is the culture that... Even if we don't like it, right? The culture that we are a part of, maybe we helped build it. I don't know. But now, like, the whole narrative is, you know, the racist in gaming. A couple weeks ago, it was violence in video games. Now it's racist. Now video games cause you to be racist. Okay.
We should stop playing, honestly.
It is making us awful human beings, right? But here's the thing. You've built this culture now in games where... It's you're anonymous, no one can touch you, and you can say whatever you want. Go to Twitch chat, right, and tell me that people on the internet are nice people, and show me one nice comment in a Twitch chat anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, the Dragons are about to play the Fuel, and Gagiri's highlighting for Shanghai. Go and watch that chat.
Godspeed.
Like, you just see the... It doesn't even stop with racism. It's sexism too. It's insane.
It's everything.
Internet ninjas. Yeah, it's
everything.
Yeah.
And here's this though, right? It's a double-edged sword where, and maybe this is too much of a slippery slope, right? Maybe I'm too black and white with this, and I understand there's a discussion somewhere in this, okay? But it kind of has to be. We've built this culture now to be an all or nothing type of culture, right? You either have to be able to say everything and no one can be offended, or you can't say anything because someone is offended, right? Point in case, back to Richard Lewis. He's sitting here, he's getting teary-eyed. It's a very emotional video saying how his friend was bullied and going through this change of being trans and everything. But then he'll turn around on Twitter and call people retarded, or you have mental illnesses, or go get your head checked out. Things like that, right? And it's like, okay, you cannot say one thing and then go back and make fun of someone for this.
It's just being a hypocrite.
It is. And that's where, to me, the hypocrisy is. And it's not just esports, though. Again, this is everyone, right? This is where I'm going more into a broader cultural thing that we've built here. It took, you know, in 2018, where we're at, where now you, it's, hey, get, or let's flip it, right? Hey, that's fine. You can call someone retarded. That's okay. But when someone wants to swing it back and say something to you, you better not go make this YouTube video about how awful people are and, you know, it's just not right. Now, again, that's a very broad statement. I understand there are lines that shouldn't be crossed and everything like that, right? Like, we understand that you can poke fun of someone, but then saying the N-word is, like, definitely a no-no. Like, you don't have to be a genius to realize this, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing here that... I'm losing my train of thought here. I'm reading Twitch chat, and Rich Homie put a nice comment in our Twitch chat, so he proved me wrong.
What a nice guy.
What a nice guy. Man.
What a good guy. What a guy.
What was I going to say? Someone talk. Yeah,
something about saving the world one nice comment at a time, Tim.
Yeah, it was an all or nothing. I lost my train of thought. It's an all or nothing. You have to accept it all or anything like that. I got my point here, okay? Something else I saw where people have now this meaning of, well, don't make a big deal of this because it's just giving it meaning, right?
Mm.
I don't know how to tell you guys this, but it's 2018. No one in 2018 is going to give the N-word any more meaning than what it already has. Like, that ship has sailed. The meaning for the N-word is there.
Yeah.
Us making a big deal about it in 2018 is not all of a sudden like, shh, don't give it meaning, because then people
it's
will
not,
know.
It's not making the news.
Yeah, we're just empowering the word.
Right. Hey, don't bring it up, or people's going to realize it's about black people. Like, no, that's already been established. Like, we don't need, it's honestly, people just need to be nice. You know,
just be
nice.
If you're gonna get one thing from the show, that would be it.
Just be nice, guys.
Unless it's your friends, let's change the internet together.
That's right. Unless it's your friends. If you ever come into the general chat when our group of friends is in there, just ignore us, because we're not nice to each other. But
we're all nice to each other.
My point is, everyone has something going on, right? So whether it's on Twitch or Twitter or you're streaming or whatever, don't pull a Sadicus. All right. Don't pull an XQC. Don't pull a Richard Lewis. Don't say anything. Leave personal things out of it. And just realize.
Play the damn game.
Yeah. Just bring up their KD. All right. How about that? Just bring up their KD and make fun of that.
There you go.
Or Stewie's ADR.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about the Counter-Strike moves.
No.
Do you want to talk about Counter-Strike roster moves real quick, Anuj?
Yeah, we should touch on it.
All right, we got off from Overwatch and then we went into this. So, any final, but really though, because I felt like this was a good discussion. Any final thoughts on the? I call it the hypocrisy of esports.
I am curious to see what happens with, if he's banned from Twitch. Can he? Be on other people's channels, like DreamHack's channel, for example, or...
I read that he could. Like, someone pointed out the rule was specifically so he couldn't be streaming.
Because you get banned, I think, from streaming for that.
Yes, but, like, it's not like... like, if he was calling a cast, right, the focal point isn't him, therefore it's okay. I think.
What if he says it on the cast?
What if that's just a thing he's dropping now? What if he just... What if he owns up to it?
He's trying to make it a new trend.
That'd be awful.
Hashtag change the meaning.
That would be awful. Yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I really don't have any... Like, I mean, you know, none of us are in a real position to say anything about that, really, I guess. Don't say the N-word. How about that? It's not that hard.
Maybe not a bad dude, but a terrible, terrible decision.
Yeah, it's really not that hard to not say the N-word. I do it every day.
We haven't said it once on this show.
No, not
which
once.
Is crazy, yeah. Because Brett says it all the time when we're not recording.
Yeah, like every other word.
You know, but hey, like I said, I have a black best friend, so I can say that, right? Like, it gives me...
That's the thing.
That's my hall pass to say it.
If Anuj would have just said that, like, guys... I know James Bardolph. It's okay.
I know, it's okay.
Not a big deal.
It's okay. Oh. Chill.
And Rich, if you're still there, I haven't said it. All right, I haven't. No, that's never left my mouth.
He's lying.
Just FYI.
He's lying.
Shh.
All right, let's get into some roster moves because there were some finalizations. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, Stewie ended up going to SK. So Cloud9 ended up signing FNS from Complexity because, you know, he had a historic career there for like 2 weeks. And Skadoodle said he was inactive, but then he filled in yesterday for SK. So I'm kind of glad that we were able to see that matchup before we recorded, because I was going to come in here all mopey and, oh no, Stewie left. But if the game showed me one thing, really it showed me two. You can't spell suck without SK. And Cloud9 is the greatest Counter-Strike team that has ever lived.
Barry, he's back. He's back, Anuj.
And it's
back. FNS, man. Back. I love it.
It's a joke.
Another fellow Indian on C9.
It's a joke how easy Counter-Strike is for Cloud9. It's unreal how bad Stewie is. I'm surprised we won
this
the major.
This is the move.
I'm surprised Cloud9 won the major with Stewie on the roster.
This is the move that moves them from that crappy number two ranking up to the number one ranking.
That's right.
Like, this is it. This is the play. No, I mean, you know what? It was a little depressing to, like, see Skadoodle in the lineup yesterday just because it's like, man, he played well.
Is he going to stay?
And now,
is he gonna go?
Now he's, like, most likely gone, right?
Yeah.
And so
you just watch him on Inferno. You're like, oh, just stay. Don't leave.
And obviously.
It's funny. So we watched this game with Tim and Brandon. Brandon, if you don't, I mean, y'all probably heard us mention his name. This is one of our buddies. He is a huge Cloud9 fan also. Branderson.
Not former Brandon of the show.
Yeah, Branderson. And I was just watching it with these guys. I could feel the pain inside of them. Like, there was excitement, but at the same time, it was just false hope.
Like,
No. No false hope there, bro. No false hope. It was so easy. In fact, you probably didn't feel pain. You probably felt the boredom because it was so easy. Like,
yeah, the transition for FNS was probably a little bit easier for like Cloud9 to introduce him into the lineup than I think going
Cloud9
from
knew
a team.
Exactly what they were doing when they went into triple overtime. Exactly.
They
had
them
right.
They looked good though in, you know, that especially that first match on Cash. Like, their executes were on point. It looked like a seamless transition almost. For Stewie, that transition might take a little bit more time because they only spoke Portuguese, like, for calling. I know they all speak English, but...
Well, are you sure? With SK? I thought they do call-outs in English.
They do now. They're doing it now, but they were calling in Portuguese. And so they had, like, a lot of time there where it just wasn't in English. I think it would just take a little bit more, plus...
Yeah.
Finding a comfortable spot for him.
I mean,
clearly,
listen,
all jokes aside, it was a struggle. I mean, on Cash, Stewie had 39 ADR, average damage per round. 39!
Which is low for a silver, let alone star player, so...
Yeah, I mean, he's got to find his role. Like, it's... You got three top players on their team, and, you know, it's him and Bolts. Like, hey, Bolts, what do you want to do? Hey, Stewie, what do you want to do? Like, the other guys already know their role in the team, but once they get that figured out, I'm sure it's going to get better.
It's going to happen, and they'll figure it out. I mean, it's inevitable.
Kind of like with FaZe, right? Like, yeah. It took them a little bit to get going, and now they're the best second-place team out there.
But until it does happen, I'm going to take... every SK loss was just the sweetest taste of victory. I'll be so happy.
On my new team.
What?
I'm going to NRG.
Oh.
Bro, man, I don't blame
you. You're leaving them.
Start stacking up on the gear.
Okay.
I don't blame you at all. NRG is looking insane. I don't know. Maybe they started hacking. I don't know. Because it's not like they made any major roster moves, but they are...
I think they got G Fuel as a sponsor.
Dominating.
Maybe they're just hyped up on G Fuel. Just...
Dude, 12-0. That's insane.
That is insane.
They looked really good against SK because they were down in both of those matches and came back and pulled them both off.
Especially
in Counter-Strike where it's like parity is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, even for the best teams in the world to go 12-0, it's...
Yeah, right, exactly. But then for NRG to do it against the best teams in the world is one other thing, too. Well, everyone says, wait till they get to a LAN. So
it's against NA.
We'll do an NRG show your next episode, right, guys?
Everything we'll call depth. Wall to wall NRG on episode 100. That's exactly what we're going to do
for the Daps interview.
Yeah,
we have to pay him first.
Gotta pay Daps for an interview.
He needs to pay us.
Before we get into e-news, real quick, there was a little bit more light shed on the Simple and Flamey. What was that rumored? Decay tweeted out. It's like 1.4 million or 1.2 million was the rumored buyout for them.
Yeah, for both of them.
Bro,
that's big boy money. That's the.
Have you guys seen the drama now where it's saying that Navi is now saying like even if they did offer to pay it, they don't necessarily have to let them go. Like that was just their price. That doesn't mean they're gonna sell them. That's just what they would want for them if they decide to sell them.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I know, right? That means
it's like that's either their price or that's like not their price, right? Like, how can you have it one way?
Well,
I mean,
and that's like this huge
other,
thing
right?
now, where it's kind of like, okay, so you legit are just holding these guys hostage because they signed this ridiculous contract with you, and now people
that's
are
also...
again all up in arms saying like this is why the players need a union, and then you got the same people saying, well, this is why they shouldn't just sign contracts.
So but I'm more on the side they shouldn't just sign contracts. Like they're not the game is too big and it's too much of a business now for you not to have some sort of sound advice around you. And if you don't, that's your own fault. Like, especially a player like Simple. Maybe you understand like a younger person getting caught into this because he gets, you know, Stewie getting his initial offer from Cloud9. I think he would have signed it, whatever it was, just to get onto Cloud9, right? But a player like Simple that's been around the block, has played on top tier teams, is the top one of the top talents in the league. Even before he went on to Navi, we all saw it, what he did with Liquid and prior.
Don't you guys think it's weird that none of them, like, consult their parents?
I mean, but not even your parents. Like, you should probably hire some sort of sports agent at this point,
yeah, but
right?
I would still, like, I'm 27. I would still like to just know my mom's opinion. Like, hey, mom, can you look over this contract, please?
Can you?
Like, I don't really know
like,
what I'm doing.
I can't, like, read this whole thing. If you could just... Like, let me know what it says.
Just
give me the
highlight
important parts.
It, okay? Just yeah. Here's a highlighter. Just tell me what I need to know, and I'll get back to you. So there you go. There's some just updates on the roster moves. Let's get into some e-news, shall we?
Michelle.
Oh, what do we have? CSGO, Anuj, pronounce the team name.
Ence is back, baby. Easy for Ence. Like, Alu is back with his... You know, Finland Finnish team, and they had the big meme because I guess like, you know, Lurpus or whatever said they were going to be a top team back in the day, and they never became that, and it became easy for Ents. So they're back with the team now, so it's exciting. They have a decent squad. Alu's back on the team, which is crazy, and just
another team to compete again.
Yeah, it's nice to see him back. Him and Keo, they both kind of give me the same feels, you know.
Yeah.
Reminds you of the good old days, like a year and a half ago. In Overwatch, you have some stage playoff format changing going on. So before, it always took like the top three teams, the number one had a bye, yada, yada, yada. Now they're doing it to where the top four teams make the stage playoffs. The first seeded team gets to pick their opponent, though. So they don't do a bye anymore. But they get to pick who they want to play.
So they can pick anybody?
Well, of the three other teams make the playoffs.
That just adds more storylines, though. It's like, okay, let's we're gonna pick the Valiant. And the Valiant has like bulletin board material right there, like, oh, they picked us, all
right. Like,
well,
any way that goes, right? Like, even if you pick the last, oh, they picked us because we're last place, or
yeah.
It'd be interesting to see the first time somebody doesn't pick, like a first seed doesn't pick the fourth seed, right? Because then it's like storyline material all over the place.
Agreed. I've said my piece on the stage playoffs. I don't really care about them anyways. You can trick it up however you want.
Well, just another way to make it exciting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it maybe gives me more reason to watch, but I honestly don't care about the stage playoffs because it's just a money game. Anyways, you have CWL Birmingham that ended up finishing up for Call of Duty. Man, it was kind of a heartbreaker, to be honest with you. I was rooting for Splice considering they're the home team. They went in the losers bracket. Beat Optic with a capital T, 3-2. They beat Rise, 3-1, in the losers bracket finals. Then they went to the grand finals against LG. They ended up resetting the brackets. They beat LG 3-1, and then LG like remembered, like, oh guys, we gotta win, and then they beat them 3-1. But it was great. The crowd, I thought, was really good. It was really fun to watch. It gives me hope for the major coming up in London. Except for there's no London teams. So.
Or English. That is true.
So, we'll see. In other news, Clash Royale is starting up their own league. Have you guys ever played Clash Royale?
Nah, man.
Me either. I'm honestly...
I am so out of this...
I know what it is, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, I don't really get it. And there's like big teams like Liquid, Fnatic, SK, G2, Dignitas, Misfits, NRG, Cloud9.
Do you feel like that's kind of like past? We're like past our prime for those games. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I don't know.
For it's like not mobile games?
It's a mobile
game. Not mobile game. No. I know that. I'm saying what I'm saying. Like our age group. You know, like I feel like this is more of a younger.
Yeah.
At 18.
Well, I think this is the age where you can play your phone at school, right? Like, yeah. I can't really play this game at work, so you know, you're going to have the younger bunch.
But 20 minutes I'm on the ninth floor, that's my time to play.
Oh, yes. Everyone has that ninth floor. We know what you're talking about in the corporate world. Top floors always have the nicer restrooms. Let's see here. What else? What happened to it? Oh, Cloud9 ended up dropping Ally from their Smash 4 roster. You know, some people say it's because there was an accusation that he was an abusive to a female. He says it had nothing to do with that. Take it for what you will. But that's kind of the first one to see where our organization's now dropping players for Smash 4, getting ready for Smash 5. Time will tell. And in very depressing news... In League of Legends. It's depressing, but it's also kind of like a redemption at the same time, I guess. Team Liquid's double lifts. Did you hear about this, Brett? Other than our show chat?
You had told me. Yeah, you had
told
me about it.
Double lift. He plays for Team Liquid in League of Legends. Discovered the other day that like this happened pretty much while he was playing a game or like right around the same time. They were in the middle of a match. Discovered that his brother stabbed his mother to death and severely injured his father, hospitalizing him.
That's crazy, man.
That is. It's insane. Yeah.
That is insane.
It's everyone, crazy world
didn't this happen
right
on April 1st, right? Is when this happened?
I think it happened the night before. So, like, because it happened at like 10:30 p.m. their local time.
Yeah, they were saying, like, it was like. Double down even worse for this kid because unfortunately he didn't want to say anything on April 1st because he was afraid people would think it was a joke.
Yeah,
that's what
have those responses
out.
Of like,
yeah, like I mean, I can't imagine. Dude.
That's a really crappy thing to even have to think about at that time. It's like your family is like in turmoil. You were April Fool's.
Now, this is where the redemption part comes in. Is that he is? I mean, they're playing in the spring split coming up here this weekend, and he's playing in it. They announced.
Is he really?
Yep. They announced that he wanted to play, so they're going to let him play.
You know what? Probably can help with the coping. I mean, you get that. You see it all the time in real sports and
Isaiah
Favre
Thomas.
And,
you know, his sister passed away. He went back and said he's like, I need basketball. I need the fans. You know,
this is where
I feel comfortable. So I completely see where he's coming from.
Even if it gives him an hour where he's not having to think about it, you know, that's probably...
I haven't seen a League of Legends game in years, but maybe. Maybe I'll just turn that one on to see.
That could
I know
be the one. We should all tune in probably
together. Yeah, we should all tune in.
They're playing 100 Thieves, so everyone says that no matter what happens, 100 Thieves is losing that match. Whether they win or lose, they are going to become... Like, no one is rooting for them at this point.
Yeah.
So a special stay hard to... Double Lifts family. And that's today's sad story. Okay. I moved all my buttons around. Okay, there we go. That's it. For episode 99 of The Center Ring, we will be back next week for the big 100. I think it's going to be Wednesday, maybe around 7. I don't know.
You wanna... hold a summit and take a day off?
Always. We do have a special guest on the show next week. We have Root Bear. He is the founder of the Five Deadly Venoms, which is the New York XL supporter group. So we will have him on the show, talk about an upcoming charity event with them in Houston. That's next week, though. For today, I thank you for listening. Whether you skipped around, whether you joined us in Twitch chat, all of the above, I love you all the same. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Hit us up on our website, tcr.gg. For Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.